like to be introduced to you. I told you to keep it short and sweet, and you passed. And you did really well there. I am honored to have a chance to share this morning. But it's going to be a little bumpy for me to get through it. My heart is extremely full on multiple levels. I'm going to talk a little bit about I'm not who I was. I-N-W-I-W, if you want to use an acronym. I don't know how you would pronounce that, though. N-W-U, maybe. But I-N-W-I-W, I'm not who I was. But before I get into that portion of my time, I do want to take an opportunity to honor the dads in the house. So those of you that are dads, would you please stand up and be recognized and applauded again? Amen. 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 Amen and amen. I see some guys that didn't stand, but perhaps they will be future dads. And, you know, I was thinking as I knew I was going to have this opportunity to share on this day, fatherhood obviously was in my thinking and in my praying over the last several days and weeks. And so it obviously caused me to think about fatherhood in a number of dimensions. First and foremost, you can't be a father if you haven't first been a son. And as I thought about sonship and my heavenly father through faith in Jesus Christ, I also thought about my earthly dad. We're closing in on the 2-year anniversary of his passing. And yesterday, as I was in the yard, pulling some weeds, I just was flooded with memories. Memories of humor, memories of sayings, memories of special moments, memories of disagreements. And they all just converged on me in a wave of gratitude. And in the quietness of the yard, Rosie and I were actually out working together, but I was in another area of the yard, so she didn't see me, but the tears just flowed. They were good tears. They were tears of gratitude, tears of thanksgiving, tears of joy. And great memories, but also tears of missing him. Sonship, my heavenly father through Christ, my earthly father, Clark G. Kellogg. I'm Clark C. Our oldest boy is Clark A. Proud to bear that name. Proud to have been his son. But I also started thinking of not only does it requires sonship to be ultimately a father, but there's really no father without motherhood. And I thought about my lovely bride, Rosie. We're closing in on 3.5 decades of marriage. And just being able to share that joy of parenthood, motherhood, and fatherhood together, and how she's been such a great support and helpmate in that journey. So sonship, motherhood. And as I thought about my dad, man, I just so grateful for his presence, who he was, what he was for me and my younger siblings, brother and 3 sisters. And then I think about the joy of being a dad myself. God has blessed us with 3 children. And there's tremendous blessing and challenge and joy and regrets and responsibility and rewards that come with fatherhood. And not everybody's story is the same around fatherhood, but I'm grateful and thankful. And as I thought about my dad, I couldn't help but think about some of the special moments that he and I shared over the years. You know, it's funny, I used to be a professional basketball player with the Indiana Pacers years, decades ago. And my dad actually would watch all of my games. He came to many of my games I don't think he missed a home game when I was here at Ohio State the 3 years I was here driving down from Cleveland. But on occasion, he would come over to Indianapolis and attend a game. It just so happened he came to a Lakers game. They were world champion caliber at the time. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, James Worthy. The list goes on and on. And we lost to them like most teams did. And we were in the bottom quadrant of the league in terms of wins and losses. So it was not unexpected that the Lakers would beat us, even on our home court, even with our best effort. We had given a great effort, had played them closely, but came up short. And I recall my dad wanting to break the game down afterwards and wanting to adamantly tell me how we should have defended Kareem. And wouldn't let it go. From the outside area of the locker room where family would greet you, all the way to the car in the garage, he's telling me how to defend Kareem. And I couldn't help but do what you're doing. Chuckle after he and I went toe-to-toe and nose-to-nose for a while, screaming and hollering. I think about 2016, a few weeks before he surprisingly and suddenly passed away, the Cleveland Cavaliers came from a 3-1 deficit in the NBA Finals to beat the Warriors to win Cleveland's first professional championship in over 50 years. I'm a Cleveland native, diehard Browns, Cavs fan when I'm not doing something with the Pacers. Pacers are 1, Cavs are 1A, because I spent 32 years with the Pacers as a player and broadcaster and some time in the front office. But I'll cherish this memory for all of the days the Lord gives me. My dad had been struggling with his health, and we had been able to see him probably during the second or third game of that series. We went up to Cleveland and spent some time with him watching one of the games, Rosie and I. And then when they had come back from 3-1 in game 7 and won it there, I was at home in the basement. He was, I think at that point, he was still at the rehabilitation center where he was recovering. And we were speechless with joy for what had just happened with the Cleveland Cavaliers. My dad had been a policeman for over 40 years. He used to take me to Cleveland Browns games. He would moonlight as a security guard in the stadium. Him and my uncle both were policemen. And I would hang out, had great memories of going to those games. And just the joy that was unspeakable across phone lines was something that still gives me chills. We were speechless, so happy. And to share that with him at that time was powerful and a great memory for me to hang on to. The Bible says that the man who fears the Lord has a secure fortress. And for his children, it will be a refuge. The Bible also says that blessed is the man who leaves an inheritance for his children's children. So I speak specifically to the dads and dads-to-be in just offering encouragement and challenge that as you trust the Lord, your progeny will have a refuge. And as you trust the Lord, you'll be building an inheritance for your children's children. Not necessarily a material one, which is important, but more a spiritual heritage that won't ever fade or perish. So I honor the fathers in the house by remembering and recalling my dad. I actually can see myself and hear myself sometimes when I'm in the mirror saying things. I can hear him. see him and thankful for him. I'm not who I was, and I would hope that most all of us can say that in some form or fashion. I'm not who I was. I want to give you some examples of what that looks like for me. They may resonate with you in some form or fashion. I already talked about one. I once was a highly acclaimed baller. From high school through college to the NBA, played at the highest levels, accomplished a lot, was well respected as a player. But I am not that anymore. Not even close. As a matter of fact, it's hard for me to even remember playing at this stage. That basket looks like it's 12 feet tall. And the court looks like it's a mile long. So I'm no longer that, clearly. I'm not the baller that I once was. I cannot sit, stand, work out, or last as long in a host of activities like I used to. Now, there's a line of demarcation for whether you're under 50 or over 50 if you're a guy. And you can go wherever you want to with that one. But I can't do that. Concession to time passing, age, the body changing and wearing away. I'm much more mindful of my words at this stage. Praise has expanded. Praise to God. Gratitude to my wife and our children. Thankfulness. Profanity has contracted. It has not gone completely away, but it's contracted. Because I had a moment just this weekend watching the World Cup. I'm watching Cristiano Ronaldo. He had 3 goals in a World Cup match. And the third one was out of this world. Late in the match, how many soccer fans? Does anybody watch soccer? Late in the match, they're down 3-2. They get a free kick because he got fouled. There's a wall of players in front of the net and a goalie at the net. He hit this thing with his right foot over the wall, outside of the net, and it curved in. For those who know soccer, that's upper 90. And that's virtually impossible to do on a free kick at that level. And I let loose a very mild expletive. And I asked God's forgiveness immediately upon it coming out of my mouth. But I think he might have said the same thing watching that. That was unbelievable. Did anybody see that? So I lost, but the praise has expanded. It's the priority of my speaking. But man, I let a mild one go on that. My siblings and my bride and children can attest to this. I love words. I love discovering words. I love using new words. And I can be a bit of a smart aleck. That's where my family is, over there. Yeah. But the Bible says that reckless words can pierce like a sword. But the tongue of the wise can bring healing. That's convicted me to be less of a smart aleck, even when it's not mean-spirited, and be more of an encourager. In other words, to mind my words more consistently. And I hope and pray that my bride and children and siblings have noticed moderate improvement in that regard from me. I'm not asking them to affirm that or not, but that's just a public silent prayer. I consistently consider, ingest, meditate on, and attempt to apply the Bible in my life. That wasn't always the case. That wasn't the case until about 31 plus years ago. Rosie and I work better together now. It's a function of a lot of things. And I give you this recent exchange while we were working in the yard to show exactly how that played out. We had worked for about 45, 50 minutes pruning bushes. I'm the cleanup man because she's better and more skilled at pruning. So we took a break, had a little water, we're talking. Actually, we affirmed each other, what we liked about each other, and it was really emotional and powerful. And then she said, you know, we didn't used to work well together. And I'm like, waiting for the rest of it. But you finally started listening to me. And you know what? She's right. I'm a lot more coachable than I used to be. As a matter of fact, I've also become more eager to seek her counsel. I'm still very much a work in progress there. I imagine many of us men are because of our hard-headedness and stubbornness and selfishness. But I am moving towards a better place there, seeking and heeding her counsel. I'm also better not just working with her, but working for her. Not in the sense of financial provision. God has provided for us sufficiently plus, in quotes, through my basketball playing career and current broadcasting career. But in the sense of quality time, work in progress, clearly, I am there. But not only quality time, but doing that with joy. Service and sacrifice around her desires and need with joy. Spiritual nurturing with joy. Ephesians 5 says that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself, to present her as radiant without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but blameless and holy, and that husbands are to love their wives as they love their own body. Work in progress, but that's one of my hallmark passages as a husband, which impacts me as a father and as a son. Those are just a handful of examples. I could probably list a bunch more. I'm sure many of you could list some examples of where you're not who you once were. Part of that is just the natural progression of time. There is something to living life, experiencing things, working through them that leads to some level of wisdom and navigation ability. Not guaranteed, but typically over time, we begin to change some of our attitudes, ways, and habits. But I'm not who I was because of a more important reason. And that's because of a change that happened in my life almost 32 years ago when I came to a place and point through people, circumstances, my own quest for life's meaning and purpose beyond reaching the goals that I had set. And the living, active word of God over time convicted me of God's desire for my life, God's plans for my life, God's purposes for my life through faith in his son, Jesus Christ, who became God in the flesh, lived perfectly, died for my sinful nature, which is ultimately and at its base living apart from God's design and purpose. The scriptures say that all men have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, his ultimate design and purpose for us. Sin, living apart from his guidance and direction and relationship, separates us from God. But his love for us as his sons and daughters compelled him to send his son to die for our sins so that we could be reunited, reconnected to God through faith in Jesus Christ. Believing that he died for our sins, believing that God raised him from the dead, and that by believing that in our hearts and confessing with our mouths that Christ is Lord, we can become new men and women in God through Christ for the promise of abundant life now and eternal life beyond. I'm not who I was because of God's great love, which is still hard to embrace fully, to understand with your head. You feel it with your heart. The scriptures reveal it. We saw evidence of it in our time of worship where people are hurting. People are lacking hope, looking for connection to the hope giver. And the body of Christ has not only the opportunity, but the responsibility and privilege to be God's love. God is thumping that hard at me, in my heart, to be manifestation of his love. Recognizing that we're all hurting, flawed, works in progress, dealing with challenges, some that appear insurmountable in some cases, some that will require a miracle, but all that can be worked through by God's love through his people. When I gave my heart and life to Christ in November of 1986, it became simply a matter of determining and choosing not to go my way, my will, but to allow God's way and will to become the center of my life. At one time, basketball was. It was my driver. It was my anchor. It kept me moving in a certain direction, academically and certainly socially, because of that driving desire to excel and reach a goal in that game. But that's a misplaced throneship. And it may not be basketball, but it could be something or somebody outside of God through faith in Christ. But the scripture spoke to me, my life circumstances, my wife, all part of God's plan to get my attention the fourth or fifth time that I had heard word of who he was and what he desired from me, but ultimately bowed my heart and life to God through faith in Christ. And since then, it's been about his way, his will, his wisdom being the guidance for me. And you know what? That's a free gift. I didn't do anything to earn or deserve God's love and mercy and forgiveness and promise. Loved what we sang this morning. Miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That's who God is. That's who he wants to be in all of our lives. We have to receive who he is. When I made that call for me almost 32 years ago, changed everything. I'm still flawed. I still have selfish tendencies. I still slip with a mild expletive every now and then. But my heart's been rerouted. It's been rewired. And God promises that he'll continue to mold and shape our heart in accordance with his will and plans and purposes for each of our lives. My journey and story is a little different than everybody else's here, but we all have one. We all have one. I want to close. I recently was compelled to read a book that I had read probably maybe close to, well, probably 15 years ago. A book called The Wisdom Hunter. It's about a pastor who was a bit legalistic in his approach to pastoring, drove his one child away because of his legalistic ways and heavy-handedness with the truth and the gospel. His daughter ran away, met a guy she fell in love with. They had a child, but she was in a car accident as the child was in a car accident and the child and went into labor. The child was born, but mom did not survive. As a result of that, the pastor's wife died within 3 or 4 weeks, the heartache, the grief. And then the pastor goes on a quest to try to find his granddaughter. Takes him across the world. But ultimately, he's wisdom hunting. He wrestles with why. Wrestles with how he went about pastoring. Can he pastor again? His grief and heartache and sorrow heavy. But there was a drive to try to find his granddaughter. And there are a number of takeaways, and I just want to share them, not just for as food for thought, quite honestly, some things that resonated with me on a personal level in my own journey, and I'm praying that they might resonate with the heart of those here. Many are in the family of faith through Christ. Some are not. I can't assume that all here have committed themselves to following after Jesus by faith. But that's something you can do now. And before you leave here, it's a matter of hearing, receiving, believing, and confessing that you'd like Christ to be your Lord and Savior from this point going forward. And God promises to work in you to become who he wants you to become through the fellowship with believers, through the study of his word, which is his revelation to us. But I want to share just a couple of things that I pulled away from this book. And they spoke to me hard because it's really about what we should endeavor to look like and be like as Christ's followers, as his image bearers in the earth, male, female, rich, poor, suburban, rural, urban, white, black, whatever nationality, as Christ's followers and his image bearers, there's an aroma, there's a presence, there's a power that should be evident in our lives. In practical, daily living. And I'm challenged to embrace that more and more for me and my household, to embrace what that love looks like. There are a couple of things. Settle beliefs about God's love, mercy, him allowing suffering in our lives from the perspective of Scripture. Settle beliefs about God's love, mercy, allowing suffering in our lives from the perspective of Scripture. That doesn't mean you discard or deny your feelings. It doesn't mean that you stifle your questions and your doubts. But it does mean that you have to settle what you're going to believe about God according to the Bible. His unending mercy and faithfulness and love always with you. Because when you do that, it keeps the strong winds of negative feelings from destroying your future. God has a plan for our lives to give us future and a hope. as we follow after him. Negative feelings come. There's an enemy out there that wants to bombard us with words and thoughts contrary to scripture. But when we settle what we believe about God's love, mercy, faithfulness, the pain and suffering that we all endure in different forms and at different times and seasons in life, when we allow those to be filtered through the word of God, then it helps us to keep the strong winds of negative feelings from destroying our futures. Nobody is accepted by everybody. Nobody is rejected by everybody either. For all of the so-called popularity and celebrity and comfort that many feel that I have, part of that is true, but there are folks that turn me off when I'm on television. That's real. There are many that don't, but there are some that turn me off and cuss me out on Twitter. But nobody is accepted by everybody. Neither is nobody rejected by everybody. So as you're navigating your struggles, your pain, feeling isolated, rejected, there's somebody for you, and it starts with God the Father. I challenge our body of believers, myself included, to be that somebody for other people. Again, not for everybody, but for somebody. Nobody is accepted by everybody. Nobody is rejected by everybody either. Jesus compares evangelism with sowing seeds, not swinging swords. Jesus compares evangelism with sowing seeds, not swinging swords. That's as clear and illustrative as it needs to be, so no embellishment from here. Christianity's most potent elements are the mysterious, supernatural, and faithful nature of God. When we, as believers, attempt to box him up, line him up, straighten him up, we're missing who he is. We can't fully understand him. Can't. And if we lose that wonder, that reverent awe, we're becoming ineffective. We're not where and who God wants us to be. And that's ongoing. His mysterious nature, supernatural power, and his faithfulness. Man, that was driven home hard and continues to be. And then finally, let God have your life. That's where it starts. Let God have your life. He gives you life. He wants to direct and lead your life and empower your life. But he gives us choice. We have to choose to let him have our lives. There's a one-time occurrence of that, but then it's ongoing. It's ongoing. As God reveals more of himself to you, this mysterious and supernatural, faithful God, then it requires that you oftentimes readjust. Where you've been may not be where he wants to take you. And sometimes that taking is through pain and difficulty, and sorrow, and loss, and heartache. But it's to move us to where God would have us to be. I know about that process. I got an arthritic knee. Actually, both of them jacked up. And I've been wrestling with this right one for about 4 months. Steroids shot, rehab, rest. But there's nothing like loss or discomfort to create urgency. I'm busting my behind doing what I need to do now. Because surgery, I'm like two steps away from a replacement. So resting, repairing, rehab, recovery with a knee or a hip or our lives is God's work. It's God's work. Let God have your life. Let His wisdom guide your life. Let His wisdom guide your life. And then this is the one that got me all in arms because I got work to do. I got major work to do. Let people be your life. Let people be your life. Family, friends, coworkers. And again, not everybody, for all of us, but the core driver in our lives should be people. We've got to work, we've got to eat, but we've got to give ourselves to people. Because that's in line with what God wants us to be and do. Give our lives to God. Personal call, individual choice. Let God's wisdom guide our lives. A message for those who've given their lives to God. And then the last part of that is to let people be our lives. Let us be about the things that count with other people. Getting into their lives to help as we have opportunity. Again, not everybody's circumstances for us, but those that are, we need to be engaged in with the love that God gives us to share through our lives with other people. So appreciate the household of believers here. Rosie and I, our family, have been here for well over 20 years through the change and transition. And just grateful for what God is doing in us and desires to continue to do in us and through us. Dads, leave that monstrous, wonderful inheritance for your children. Fearing the Lord gives you a secure fortress and them a refuge. Make their inheritance be one that's spiritual. And that starts with our dads. God bless you. Pastor Tori, would you come and close us out?
That's great, brother. Praise the Lord. That was wonderful. Thank you, Clark. Thank you for your obedience. The Apostle Paul makes a statement. He said, I die daily. That's just good wisdom. That's just good advice. Because he recognized, in saying that, he was recognizing that if he doesn't every day get up and surrender his life to God, if he doesn't begin his day with that kind of humility and reorganizing, reprioritizing the way he's thinking and things he's planning to do, he recognized that he could jump in there and start ignoring God. That's the Apostle Paul. That was a great challenge for us today. There's a joy in serving the Lord. There's an enthusiasm in serving the Lord. There's an excitement in serving and knowing and following the Lord. But there's a somberness to it. There's a seriousness. There's an intent that we have to bring to it. God loves us. God calls us. God wants to be with us. He wants to walk with us. His attention is always upon us. If there's any lack in the relationship, it's always from our end, isn't it? That we're not always giving the attention to him that we ought to. Well, we all stand. And I am going to ask those members who are on our prayer team, if you would just stand in place. We always want to offer ministry. I don't know everybody who's here, and I don't know what is going on in your life. But if you'd like a brother or sister of faith to just pray with you about some area of your life. Before you leave, would you please do that? Just as we dismiss, come forward. There's men and women on both sides. They just love to just pray with you, encourage you a little bit in the Lord, and then you can be on with your day. I also want to let you know that when you go out in the lobby, there's a wonderful treat in store for you. As those who are part of Christian Assembly know that we have a staff member, Ms. Therese Osborne, who's been on staff and part of our hearts and lives. And you have been blessed abundantly by her ministry, and you may not even know her. But she is one of those behind-the-scenes people who has just over the years been so faithful and so powerful in her ministry here. She's retiring from our staff. And so we're having a little cake reception in the lobby. So even though I know you have Father's Day's plans and that, here's the treat. You get to have dessert first, which is one of my mottos in life, which is not good theology, but it's really fun. So take a moment. Therese will be lingering and milling around in the lobby. Just take a moment and express your thanks to her, because you've been recipients of her ministry, whether you've realized it or not, over many, many years. If you've been around Christian Assembly, or if you're new, you've still been recipients of her investment here. I would also encourage, if there's anyone here, I don't want to miss an opportunity, if there's anyone here who is not convinced in their heart that they're a Christian, like Clark mentioned, if you can't remember a moment where you bowed your head and you said, God, I recognize my sin, and I recognize that you are God, and I want to give my life to you. I want to receive your forgiveness. I understand who Jesus is. I believe who he is. And I believe that he rose from the dead. And in doing so, he provided forgiveness for my sin. And I can be accepted by God. And I could go home today calling God my Father. Because when we give our life to him, he receives us and adopts us into his spiritual family. I don't want to miss an opportunity. So if there's anyone here, would you just raise your hand? I'm not going to make you come forward, but I do want to know that, and you need to make some kind of acclamation that this is the day that I'm becoming a Christian. This is the day I'm giving my heart to the Lord. This is the day, from this day forward, when anyone asks you this question, you'll be able to say, no, I am. I'm a part of the family of God, and I'm going to follow him now with all of my heart and all of my life. Is there any? Just raise your hand until I recognize you, and then we're going to close. I want to make sure we don't miss an opportunity if it's there. And for the rest of us, let it be a challenge to us that we are carriers of his word and exporters of the truth of who God is and who Jesus is in the world. Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Your presence has been so real among us from start to finish. And we receive the word that you've given to us today through Clark's ministry among us. Thank you for the wisdom you've instilled in him. And by your spirit, you communicated to us. We receive it. And everyone are challenged and encouraged today to live with even greater intent, to be even more purposeful, to be more reflective of where we are in our walk with you, to allow your spirit to lovingly but gently and kindly and firmly evaluate our hearts so that we are continuing to grow in the faith and to be used by you. God, thank you for your family. Thank you for your constant care and love and presence in our lives that never leaves. Thank you for every dad that's here. Bless them on this Father's Day, and I pray that each celebrates in some fashion today your goodness with their families. Dismiss us with your peace and your love and your joy in Jesus' name. Amen. If anyone has